Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Welcome to the heat wave. September 8th Housing and Transportation meeting to order. I'm Chair Sandy Stang, and reminding everyone that the meeting will be recorded. And the second thing will be the Pledge of Allegiance with Jean Hernandez. And if you're able to stand, that would be great.
I don't believe Jean is here, Sandy.
He's not.
Not yet.
Okay. Helen, do you want to lead it? You're standing already.
Sure. Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Helen. Okay, next we'll do a roll call with Linda Barcelona. Linda, you're muted. Linda, you're muted.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay. I pressed it a couple times.
I know.
All right. Okay, if you could all unmute yourselves and then mute again after I call your name. Charlene Ashendorf.
Present.
I'm present. Denise Barnes.
Present.
Elizabeth Busick.
Present.
Thank you. Helen Cameron.
Present.
Thank you. Amelia Castro.
Present.
Jerry Chang.
He came in this morning and said he'd be absent.
Oh, okay. And Jean Hernandez is not
on yet. Why don't you hold him? And he might be in.
Okay. Juno Kim. Not yet. Carol Moore. Mary Perdue.
She said she'd be absent.
Okay, thank you. And Sandy Stang is present. Okay, I'll watch out for those others.
Okay, that'd be great. Thank you.
Thanks.
And then number four is the action items. AB 361, review and make findings required by government code subsection 54953E3. Recommendation, continue virtual meetings due to the proclaimed state of the emergency arising from COVID-19. Meeting in person presents imminent risk to the health and safety of attendees, and the emergency continues to directly impact the ability of the members to meet safely in person. So need a motion and a second.
So moved.
Second.
Helen moved, and I think it was Denise second, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. And then we'll, you wanna take roll again?
Desiree? I think, yes, sure. I will. Charlene Ashendorf?
Yes.
Linda Barcelona?
No.
We had a second from Denise Barnes. Elizabeth Busick?
Yes.
Helen Cameron motioned. Amelia Castro?
Aye.
Jerry Chang is absent. Jean Hernandez? Juno Kim? Carol Moore? Mary Perdue is absent. Sandy Stang?
Yes.
And that is majority chair.
Okay, thank you. Number five, CERN Senior Non-Emergency Medical Transportation Update from FARA, Community Services Office on Aging.
Hello, everyone. There is gonna be a little bit of a change in our rates this time. We actually recently approved a higher cost rate. So you're going to see a little bit of increase in the average cost per trip. So we'll start off with Area 1 trips provided were 2,419. For Area 2, 2,160. For Area 3, 4,192. Average trip per cost for Area 1, which is our North County, it's $51.71, $45.57 for Area 2, and $42.82 for Area 3. average trip length is 5 miles, 0.77 for area one, 8 miles, 0.44 for area two, 4 miles, 0.77 for area three. And then average cost per mile was $8.97 for area one, $5.40 for area two, and $8.97 for area three. Thank you.
Okay, any questions for Farah on the senior non-emergency medical transportation report?
Yes, I have a question for Farah.
Yes.
I read a recent article about the length of time it takes for individuals to be processed to access services for transportation. Has that been an issue for our programs, or do we have any information about that?
I haven't gotten any sort of complaints regarding this. The only thing I heard from one of our residents was there was a change to the registration process, which required them to provide them with an extra time, like rather than the two-day ride request. And that was done just to help the participants. So that way they're able to accommodate any last minute requests. So, you know, customers were to call in advance and cancel or request in advance, then they have a roster ready for that day and they can accommodate last minute ride requests a little bit better. But I haven't seen any other issues from me working on this program as of now.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? I have one, Farah.
Yes.
Do the people have to come in to be certified that they qualify?
There is an eligibility criteria for it, so it's very it's not a very lengthy eligibility criteria. It's eligible to our seniors, so it's obviously something that we reserve for them alone. So it's going to be for people who are 60 years and over. And then there is an income criteria, but it's not really implemented. It's more for people who are frail and unable to find another means of transportation to their non-medical emergency transportation.
Okay, so it doesn't typically have to be a disability. It can also be that they're frail.
Yep.
Okay. Exactly. I thought it was disability.
Mm-mm.
Okay, thank you for clarifying that. Anybody else with any questions? Thank you, very good report.
Thank you.
Next we go to our presentation with Amanda. Is she on, Desiree?
I am.
Oh, great. Thank you, Amanda. I'll introduce Amanda today. I heard her speak at the Lake Forest Clubhouse Senior Center, and I hadn't heard a report on 211 Orange County in quite a while, so it's good to get some new information. Amanda holds a bachelor's, a BA in sociology from Cal State Long Beach, and she's currently overseeing the Resource Department and Family Resource Center programs, along with involvement in the transportation program of 211 Ride. In the past 4 years with 211 OC, she's continued to help strengthen partnerships with agencies and assisted with the growth of the Family Resource Center program. So with that, Amanda, go ahead and feel free to get started with your presentation.
Okay, great. I'm hoping everyone can see my screen okay.
Yes, I can.
Okay, great. Alrighty. Well, good morning, all. It's a pleasure to be here with all of you. And I'm hoping to be able to inform you on new 211 programs and or if you've already heard more so recently about these programs as well. So just a little bit of background information on us as an agency. We ourselves are a nonprofit org who's offering information referral services through our 211 call center or contact center. The idea is that if someone has an emergency such as needing food, shelter, disaster information, connections to food pantries, and so on, we are able to do so by them calling our easy three-digit number. The system that we work out of is going to have nonprofit and government agencies who are offering their services free to low cost. 211 does list for-profit orgs, organizations, as long as they are offering those services on either a scholarship or a sliding scale. We want to also remember the population that we serve. So with that is part of the agreement if they do partake in our resource database. 211 is actually available nationwide. Interesting more so that the state United States is almost covered up to 100%, which is great. Here in the state of California, though, we are looking at a 100% coverage, and that's only to do so with the pandemic. There was that increase in need of help. In the lighter shade blue, you'll see they are actually being served by 211 Ventura, who are offering connection services through a shared database with each of those counties, which allows all of those residents to be connected to a 211. Since we are nationwide and statewide, we have also the ability to transfer among one of another. This can happen, especially if maybe a resident is looking to move counties. So there's questions about benefits. Where can I find this? Where can I find that? We're able to do that instant transfer from here in 211 in Orange County to maybe LA, as far as to New York, again, based on wherever that caller is looking to acquire services at. So how exactly do you obtain services through us? And there's a few methods, and that's not just only calling, but dialing our 888 number. We found that some people have stated that the landlines may not dial the 3-digit number, so encouraging them to use our 888 number. But for the most part, all cell phones will dial out straight over to our contact center here. Interesting, so going back to how we are nationwide and statewide, it's going to be based off your physical location. So meaning if I'm calling from Santa Ana, route it right over to Orange County's call center. Same thing similar to if I'm calling out of Long Beach or maybe Escondido and San Diego, you'll be routed to that respective 211. But remembering that we are also able to still transfer to one another. All 211s are available 24 hours, 7 days a week, always being connected to a live individual. Same thing goes for the email and texting method. You can email us help@211oc.org. And then lastly, by texting your zip code to 898-211. Texting feature is only available Monday through Sunday right now, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. And hopefully we'll be able to expand that. But phone and email available 24/7. Okay. So you've connected us through any of those three methods. So who are you connected to? You're connected to an INR or information referral specialist. That INR is going to ask you a few questions on where you want your services located, what you're looking for exactly, and or if you're looking to be transferred to a specific agency, all things that we're able to do. I get the question a lot of, well, what does 211 collect exactly? And that's a zip code. You don't even have to give us your name. You can also even say, I'm calling on behalf of someone, advocating, case managers, social workers. Again, anyone can call in looking to obtain services for whatever their need is. 211, I can say we do not collect any private information. So no social securities, no immigration status, addresses, and so on. Again, keeping our clients private in their needs of time. So after they've obtained where the needs are, they're going to go ahead and search in the database, look through program eligibility. I'm Sally Sue calling in from Santa Ana. I give that exact zip code and I'm looking for a food pantry. Okay, great. Let's go ahead and do that search and provide you 3 local food pantries within that zip code and or city. 211 on site or virtual, I forget sometimes that we have on staff, I should say, English, Farsi, Dari, Spanish, and Vietnamese INRs able to help all callers. We also have access to a language line. So if any individuals calling in would prefer to speak in their native language, we're able to loop that language line for the entire length of the call, being able to provide that service. So language is not a barrier when calling in. So the resource database contains close to 3,000 programs, 1,100 agencies, again, all mixed with for-profit, Orange County programs and nonprofit orgs. All of those services are updated on an annual basis, again, with help in addition to residents commenting on the website, letting us know if there's changes or calling in, letting us know about what they've heard. And the dedicated team is able to reach out to all identified main contacts we have with the agencies to confirm or deny if those services or if there was any changes. So most people think we only offer information referral for health and human services, but we actually help closely with the OC Sheriff's Department in time of disasters. So right now, the heat wave, those cooling centers are being listed on our 211 website, which I can show you here shortly, where individuals are able to go in and cool down, especially with this 100 plus degree weather. Not only with that, but with wildfires. So we're very grateful that we're not having any of those happen in Orange County, but there are some occurring in Riverside County. So again, keeping any callers wanting information on that those type of incidents and emergencies, we're able to do so. The idea is so that way people aren't calling 911 who are just looking for general information. Please tell them to give us a call, because since we're working closely with the Sheriff's Department, we have that same information we're able to provide. Sticking to the idea of disasters, we are also helping the local energy companies provide information during what are called public safety power shutoffs. There's actually going to be some occurring this weekend. And the idea is the Edison, we'll go with Edison since that's our local energy company, will shut off certain grids to help prevent any wildfire or during extreme weather. So we have a heat wave coming on. So they're going to be shutting down the power to hopefully prevent any of those wildfires occurring. 211 can connect all of the Edison as well as in the southern part of the county, San Diego Gas and Electric, information on where they can find water generators. This time during the heat wave, the Edison will launch what's called local resource centers, where individuals can go in and get ice for their medication or bring in their medication to keep refrigerated, because Edison has identified that certain location to have energy during those long extended periods. Moving on to another program that we assist with, and that's CalFresh. CalFresh is formerly known as food stamps. 211 is able to help any residents looking to obtain an EBT card through a telephonic signature, meaning we're able to do the entire CalFresh application over the phone. If language is a barrier, we're still able to bring in that language line to help through the entire length of that application. It's a great option. No one has to leave their home. We do the entire application within 30 to 45 minutes and then send it on over to the county to move forward with the resident. Moving on to shelter information. So 211 is known as the virtual front door. We work closely with the coordinated entry system to help individuals calling in the different sections of the county are also known as serving planning areas. There are the north, south, and central. So wherever an individual is calling who is literally homeless, looking to be connected to the coordinated entry system or CES, we'll go ahead and give them that local access point. Just wanting to make sure I stay on time. So moving on to the Family Resource Center. So 211 actually offers in-person information referral at two of these centers located throughout the county. We are in two of them, which is at El Medina in Orange and Anaheim Independencia. You can walk in and be referred by that INR to services within the center themselves, working with other partners, including FACES, WTLC, CAPOC, and Access. We also can refer out using our 211 resource database. And then lastly, before I move on over to our transportation program, more so recently, fairly new, we are working with the Aging and Disability Resource Connection Center. We have a care coordinator who helps anyone calling in who is looking to look for older adult services. That could be information referral, counseling, short-term service coordination, and transition services. On the right-hand side, you'll see some of our extended partners and our core partners working with Office on Aging and Dale McIntosh, all working again together to offer those services. Okay, I lied, sorry. We have one more slide before 211 ride. 211 OC Mental Health Resources. I know we are information referral, but we are able to connect all residents looking for services as far as crisis and warn lines, behavioral information lines, counseling, also any assessment and evaluation services. Telephone services, we can do what's called the warm transfer to any of those lines. So anyone calls in, they need someone to talk to. Unfortunately, 211 is not a warm line, but we're able to provide that connection. So if anyone is looking to be connected to NotMe, for example, which offers the warm line, we'll stay on that entire length call until they're connected to an individual through the warm line. So that way we have that successful connection to that crisis line. Alrighty, so 211 Ride, our transportation program. It launched in 2018 from San Bernardino, which was offering what's called VetLink. And VetLink was allowing veterans in that county to plan a trip to the local VA. So the idea expanded to what is now called 211 Ride. And we're able to connect any residents within some of our other neighboring counties, including Riverside, San Bernardino, Ventura, and coming soon, Los Angeles. So a resident can go ahead and plan a trip similar to Google Maps, but 211 Ride actually is able to help accommodate for much more, we think, and that's the physical mobility challenges, veteran status, trip purpose, and so on. And the options within the system are all of the 211s from those counties who have incorporated all of their nonprofit orgs offering those services. So typically, you know, a Lyft or Uber can be pretty pricey, but maybe you're a local senior in Santa Ana looking just to take a trip to the senior center or a non-medical emergency appointment. We're able to help an individual plan that trip, find the best option. And from there, the individual will have to go ahead and book. Unfortunately, we don't have that capability, but just due to because the services have their own eligibility and application process. But again, we're able to be on that phone with them, help them plan the trip from start A to the end point. And you can even plan plan to depart or arrive by a certain time and date. Okay. And I just want to go ahead and share our website right now just because of the current heat wave. So on our website, it's fairly updated, more so maybe the last 6 months, we did a total revamp. So some things have moved. So if you haven't been to our webpage, I'll go ahead and start with how to search for resources. So again, that contact center is working out of a database and it is all on our website. So you find whatever needs you need. You can go in and search even more into a certain category. So maybe your need is food, but you're looking for a local food pantry. You can click on the food pantry, find it by entering in your city or zip. Maybe you're looking for pet food. You can go ahead and then click on pet food to find local agencies offering pet food. And then going back to those cooling centers, we have the cooling center map located right now, where you click on, and similar to if you're looking for food or any other need, you're gonna be taken to a map where you can put in your zip code or your city and look for that local cooling center. And then we have a few specific portals around a few populations that we work very closely with. That's including domestic violence, military and veterans, and post for the reentry population. Any of these portals you go on, information is going to be pulled from the system specifically towards that population. It's very helpful. It's a one-stop point of entry. So that way an individual can go ahead and look through what's available for them. And then going back to lastly, this little grid right here, we have a few other programs that we list front facing. So that way it's for easy access. That's including the hate crime. 211 is helping in the county file hate crime or hate activity report. And that can be done either online or through our contact center, a teen portal. And then lastly, our 211 Ride little square right there to be connected to the website. Okay. And just to leave time for questions.
Okay, we'll take questions now.
Sure.
Carol has her hand up first. Carol Moore.
Thank you. I wanted to thank you so much for all the many things that you're doing. Mm-hmm. Strangely enough, we wouldn't think it, but if we're going to help seniors, we have to start with children, actually, because children who wind up having problems then later have difficulty through life, and it doesn't change. And I've asked this before. Previously, we had numbers that showed the homeless at one point, I don't know what the number is today, 71% of the homeless had been in removed from their homes and had to have some kind of aid. What I can't think of the term, you know, foster children. They were foster children. That's a very high number. And I think it continues to be. And I really appreciate that you're starting with young children. I saw you had programs. I also saw that you were helping with families. If we start there and we support young children, it eventually does help us. It's preventive is what you're doing. And I just can't tell you how much I appreciate understanding that need and addressing it. I thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Those are warm wishes. I'll send them over to our call center.
Charlene Ashendorf.
Thank you, Amanda. Many of us on this call probably remember being in the room when this was first announced over 15 years ago. So it speaks well for 211 to see you still here and growing as you have. Just a couple things I wanted to make sure everybody knows, because we see the website, but check out 211 on your cell phone, because it fits very nicely and you can navigate it very quickly. Some of the websites aren't equipped for that. So if you don't have access to the computer, but you have a phone, it's all there. So make sure that, you know, you share that with people. That's really important. I did want to ask you, and the information on disasters is very critical to where we are today. But also, I was curious to know how you navigated through COVID with 211, and have you seen the numbers the same before COVID? Are you getting back to serving more people? How has that impacted 211?
No, that's a really good question. And I might need to take your slogan of the mobile friendly, because I believe that was part of the website revamp, was that the old site was not mobile friendly. And again, we have to keep up with the times. But going back to your COVID question, so in March of 2020, we actually had a practice work from home day where we took all the contact center to work from home. And I believe the next week was the shutdown. So we are still virtual till this day. We have the small office at the Village in Santa Ana still, but as we continue to grow, our office space is getting smaller, but our as a company, we're getting bigger. But 211 still is remote, and we probably will stay remote for quite a while. Numbers did triple that first, I want to say, 6 months. I would share to go on our website for our COVID report. I know we just shared the last one not too long ago. So I would definitely give a look at that to see how the numbers did increase. But overall, they tripled within that first year or so.
Thank you, Amanda.
Yes, Helen.
Helen Cameron has her hand up.
I think
Elizabeth has hers up virtually.
Oh, sorry.
No. I know how to raise my hand. Okay, all right. Helen.
Okay. Yes, thanks, Charlene, for helping me reminisce about when we formed 211. I didn't remember 15 years, but I was a board member with People for Irvine Community Health at the time. So it's been an exciting journey. Amanda, I know there are some new plans within 211. Can you speak for a minute about the concept of the community information exchange and what it might mean in terms of how people will have more immediate connections to those resources in our community?
Of course, that's a great question. So more so recently, actually the last year and a half, we've been working on building what's called a community information exchange. We're launching it as known as Get Help OC. The idea is we are building it on a Salesforce platform. So it's been totally customizable. We've been able to work with an early working group known as our early adopters, which consists of nonprofit organizations, and helping build the system. So what are their wants? What are their needs? And the idea now moving forward is when someone calls into 211, it's more care coordination. The traditional way is you call in, we give you the resources, and that client or individual is responsible to reach out to Salvation Army, and so on, or any of the food pantries. With this Get Help OC initiative, We are now asking for consent to partake in this network where we'll be able to send you directly over to Salvation Army to either accept you for their food pantry, financial assistance, so on. And then slowly but surely, we want to expand that to all of the nonprofit orgs in our system. But we're currently working with 12 direct partners right now. And again, this closes that gap, missing anyone through the cracks. And I can share, though, if there is a denial at any point, because I know that has come up, well, what if the agency denies the service? That referral is sent right back over to 211, where we're going to connect with them again to find another agency or service that will be able to help them immediately.
Okay, Elizabeth, you've got your hand up.
I am assuming the demand is going to send this wonderful presentation to Desiree, who in turn can send it to all of us. This was outstanding. I think everybody needs this.
Thank you. Thank
good
you,
point.
Thank
you. Yes, it's very good. And it's interesting to see the changes you've made, because years ago when I saw one of the earlier presentations, it's really drastically changed and all positive too. Any other questions? I'm going to go back to Carol Moore's comment about the children and starting young. And I would totally agree with what you just said. I volunteered as a CASA, court-appointed special advocate, and you mentor a child that's in the foster care system. And here's what I've noticed, which was amazing. I did it for 8 years. They take the child out of the home, and usually for a good reason, and they go into foster care, and foster care really protects them and watches over them. They're not allowed to learn how to drive. We live in California. So they turn 18 and we throw them out on the street. Now, what are they supposed to do? They have no family, no backup, no education. Yes, they offer them free community college. Less than 1% take advantage of it because they don't have anywhere to live and they don't have a way to drive. So how are they supposed to get to school or do anything? And there's no support system. If you think back when we were 18, could we have handled all those things on our own? So that was the biggest thing, excuse me, that I saw, that I couldn't believe how I don't know if we're overprotective, but very protective of the children. And this magic number when you turn 18, here you are, go out in the street and figure it out on your own. Well, most of us aren't set up to do that. So I really appreciate your point, Carol, because this is really important. And I see Carol has her hand up again. So I'm sure you want to say something about that.
I have to tell you, I'm so pleased to see somebody that understands how we have to start early. And I'll tell you where I think there's a disconnect there. It's my understanding, and I'm certainly not an authority on this at all. It's my understanding they did raise it to 20, the age went up, but it didn't change much. You're right. You have to prepare people and being on your own is not something that we can expect in a very complex society. You cannot expect that to happen so quickly. There's just so much to know how to operate in our society and to navigate it. Aside from transportation, there's just so much there. And you're right, there is the ability to attend the community college. It's not the money, believe it or not, it's the lack of knowledge of what it can do for the child. If the child doesn't experience and doesn't get the role model early, and I just really praise you on this, because you have to show them that education is the highway. And if you don't see that value, it's something that really surprises us. If you came from an abusive home, you would think that then you will be a parent who understands and you won't engage in that kind of activity. But remember, what we are around becomes a role model. It's what life is, that you hit the child, whatever it is. I'm not trying to go off on a tangent on this, but our role models set up our expectations. And if you don't have an expectation that you go to school, then you don't see what's there. It's just not available to you. So that's why your program help seniors, believe it or not. You think, well, that, how does that tie in with us? I think it's a very strong tie, and we start preventive as much, the investment that we make early will come back. You will get that fourfold. And I think it was Sandy that commented, I agree. There's much more support that needs to take place early. Sorry to go on this, but if we don't start it, then we keep dealing with the same problem over and over again. Thank you.
And then just to follow up on that, and then Linda, you're next. You're right. They did start changing the system, but when I was there, they said they couldn't allow all the children to go to 21. So they were doing it in stages because there were just so many children that are in the system. And you're right, they're doing a better job, but it's still not quite what it should be. Okay, Linda, you're next.
Okay, I was just gonna let you know that there are some organizations that are working with these children when they age out of foster care, My Assistance League in Tustin, that I was on their board. We've done some work. There are some small congregate homes for these kids, and we've mentored some of them going into college and things like that, gathered their, you know, things they need, their clothing and things that they might need to go to school and school supplies and that sort of thing. So there is some people and some organizations that have recognized this gap, but yeah, there's more that needs to be done, I would venture to say. I think when we got those numbers back for the point in time count, that population was less than 10% in our total count, if I can remember right. But anyway, so just wanted to let you know that.
You're saying that the young people, it was less than 10% that were homeless?
If I can remember right, yeah, for that 18 to 21 gap was about 7 or 8%, but I haven't seen that point of time study like laid out. I'm just going by memory.
Okay. Any other questions for Amanda? I don't want to miss anybody. Okay, thank you, Amanda. That was an excellent presentation, and I appreciate all the information. I think that the changes you've made have been fabulous. And hopefully we'll continue on with more and more that will help us. And I didn't know about the 211 and the mobile phone. So that's good to know. And I think we need to share that with a lot of people.
I know. Like I said, I'm going to have to take that line. It's very important to put into the presentation. But I also want to applaud all of you guys for all the great work. I know that it's been shared that the age for the transitional age youth has extended. And the organizations that help, I believe Orangewood is another a good one to share. They work specifically with that population. And then Sandy, you shared that you were a CASA. I actually worked for Olive Crest as a youth partner for a couple of years, and I can't tell you how many times it was always great to see CASAs come in and help support the youth during that, I think, troublesome time.
So. Yeah, it was a quite a learning curve for me, especially going to family court. I'd never been to family court. Quite an eye opener. You wouldn't think we were in Orange County. You would think we were somewhere else. Right. All right. Well, thank you for taking the time. Appreciate it. And then you'll get the presentation to Desiree for us.
I most certainly will.
Great. Thank you again. I appreciate you taking the time. You're welcome to stay, but I'm sure you've got things to do.
Everyone, thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you. Yeah, when I saw our presentation, I thought, I think we need an update on this. This is really good because that was way more than I had remembered. Okay, so now we'll go to number 7, new business. So future presentations and speakers. If you look at the presentation schedule that Desiree sent out, we don't have anybody for October or November.
Yes, we do.
Oh, we do.
Yes,
have.
Yeah, you asked me to get somebody, and I got Rosa Ayala.
Okay.
She's the executive director of the Belmont Village in Aliso Viejo, and she's going to talk about congregate care for seniors, the different types of congregate care, and how it figures into their housing numbers.
Okay, and how do you spell her last name? Do you know?
A-Y-A-L-A. And she may have another lady joining her. I don't know Allison's last name, though.
Okay. And then the best thing to do is send her an email with Desiree's name on it. So she has her email address and advisor, so that Desiree pointed out when she sends out the Zoom contact info, sometimes it's going to people's spam folders.
Okay.
Okay, so okay. If you write an email to her, copy Desiree, then Desiree is very good and will be on top of it for us.
Sure, she will. Okay, thank you. So,
and then we don't have anything for November. Any ideas or anybody have anything? I know Juno and Jerry, but they said they can't find anything. Okay. Okay, well, I'll look around and see if you guys can come up with any ideas for us. Okay, and then for old business, I just put down once again our goals so we don't forget what they are: housing for all ages and stages, and then affording aging. And then we'll go around and do announcements. And somebody criticized me because I always start at the top of the list. So today I'll jump around and then just bother everybody. How's that? So let's start in the middle, and let's start with Helen Cameron. Do you have any comments or discussions or anything regarding housing and transportation?
No, you've provoked me to think about what we should be hearing more about in our role with working with older adults. And I think there are lots of new funding resources coming to Orange County. And with Erica Danchek's transition, it might be interesting to have CalAIM talk about their programs as it relates to older adults. On a personal note, I'm not sure I will be able to continue to participate. I've taken a new position with an advocacy organization working on solutions for older adults.
Congratulations.
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful, but we don't want to lose you. Try to keep us.
I'm trying. I'm already working for the organizations, but I think it's important to stay connected here.
Great, thank you, appreciate that. How about Carol Moore?
Pardon me, I don't have anything additional to add other than our city is in the process. I don't know how much you are aware of smart streets and mobility technology, but our city is in the process of a study, and it will be completed in June. And that is for, we're talking about the future. This is mobility technology. And that might be an interesting report when it's finished. I have no idea how complex it will be. And it's through a study by, SCAG. So at any rate, that I think that might be interesting later because we are a senior community. Thank you.
What does that mean, smart streets?
Smart streets have to do with, it's the future. You hear about 5G. Smart streets are streets that will have technology in them that can accommodate lots of things. It's really the future. It can mean anything from addressing the speed of traffic to addressing autonomous vehicles to just all kinds of things. So it's what we're doing to effectively use the streets we have. Instead of continuing to build more streets, why don't we look at how we use the streets that we have? And on freeways, I'm sidestepping here because that we're not a freeway, of course, but on a freeway, freeway problems occur when you get a certain number. It doesn't matter how many lanes you have. You can have 18 lanes, 30 lanes. Studies have shown that when you get like over 1,400 cars, I think it's somewhere in that number, that you start having problems. And so if you had a smart, if the freeway I'm sure you've driven where you're driving along. There's plenty of space in front of you. Everything's flowing. And then here comes a speeding car that jumps in front of you and makes you slow down because they wanted to crowd in. If they'd have stayed where they were and stayed with the speed, everything would have worked. Well, smart streets address those kinds of problems. And there are lots more things, but that's enough on that. I think it might be an interesting, if our report turns out to be one that helps us see what's happening, that might be an interesting report.
I would like to hear about that. So if you continue to watch that and you sometime when they're ready to make anybody make a presentation, I think that would be good information. Appreciate that, thank you. How about Charlene?
Nothing to report on housing and transportation, but just to let everyone know that our senior center in Costa Mesa, and I know some other facilities have been open over the weekend and for the last several days and are continuing to serve as cooling centers. So for seniors who don't have air conditioning and need a place to go, there are resources, and 211 had that notice on their slide presentation. So let's all stay hydrated and cool. Thank you.
So this is over the weekend they're open?
They were, ours was open even Labor Day as a cooling station. Yes.
On a holiday. Wow.
Yes.
And then do you know how late they stay open?
They've been open until 5 o'clock.
Oh, 5 o'clock.
Okay. Yeah.
And then wasn't he? I forgot. Something else. Okay. Thank you. I can't remember what I was gonna say. How about Elizabeth?
Thank you. Really, I have a question for Amelia. Are you there, Amelia Castro? Picture's there.
I'm here.
Oh, good. Did you get the reminder that tomorrow you're giving the inspiration?
Yes, I got that.
Okay, because I asked you to reply to me to let me know that you had received it. So, okay, so you're prepared for tomorrow.
I am.
Good, okay.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Elizabeth, is your senior center open and during the heat on the weekends?
Absolutely. And so is the library. Well, I'm not sure if it was open on Labor Day, but always, whenever.
And is there a temperature, like, does it have to be 90 or more or something?
The place is open. So it's the community senior center and the library. They're open.
Oh.
And it's always been like that. There are other open places too, but those are the two that I know. There is physical fitness, like Montanoso is open.
Oh, also. Yeah, like the health centers or whatever you call them. Yeah.
Well, they're physical fitness places.
Physical fitness.
So.
All right. Anything else, Elizabeth?
No, that's it.
Okay. How about Linda Barcelona?
Okay, I don't have anything to report on Irvine. Just two things that I wanted to let you know. I did mark Carol Moore present, and I never saw Jerry or Jean show up, so I'm going to mark them absent.
Okay.
And Elizabeth, your new haircut is adorable.
That was yesterday morning.
It's really cute.
In this heat, how anybody can have long hair, I don't
care. Yeah, that's why mine was pinned up.
mine's been on top of my head all summer, I think. I'm going to have a permanent mark. Okay.
I got to go. I've got another.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
And Denise, are you still here or did she leave? Because I know.
No, I'm still here.
Okay. Do you have any... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, just that Anaheim, downtown Anaheim will have their health fair this weekend on Saturday. And also, I just need some help. Recently, a woman approached a church and asked for help regarding clearing out her apartment. She's become quite a pack rat. I called Office on Aging, and they gave me a good resource. I even got a social worker that went out the next day because they told me it could take up to 2 weeks. But actually, she went out right away and was able to see what the condition was, and then reported back to me. And she says, do you want to open up a case? And I said, sure. And so I'm very impressed as to the robust response, but then also to see the resources that the county has that should they assess that she is not available, but qualifies for help, the county will actually send out a resource to her and will pay for the job being done. Now, wow. Since that time, unfortunately, her landlord gave her a 3-day notice to evict. But I'm not kidding. This woman was just literally from the crack opening the door to the other side of her apartment. I've watched programs called Hoarders, but this was a true living example. And my heart just went out to her. We did have a group from our church go out and help her just in one day. In 2 hours, we gathered 2 dumpsters worth of stuff, but it just hardly put a dent in it. I would like to see more resources published for those of us that are caregivers or neighbors that would be able to help people before it becomes that bad of a situation. Does that go into which category of Office on Aging as far as SCAC is concerned? Anybody got any ideas?
I have no idea. So that's where you started with SCAC?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, a lot of times I like to know that we speak the truth, you know, go to the Office on Aging, call the number, see who's responding, and then follow the trail.
I'm surprised. I mean, I'm not surprised, but that's really good that they responded that quickly. They couldn't respond that quickly.
Yes.
Yeah, I've watched those shows too, and they say it's truly an illness. And if they're going to stay in their home, if they don't work with the people cleaning up, it just goes right back the way it was because it is an illness and they're into collecting, we'd call it junk, but they think it's valuable stuff.
Right.
So the fact that she's moving out, that makes a big difference. And it's a little harder if she goes into a community setting, but if she stays in her, he or she stays in their home, it'll go right back if they don't help.
Sure. And the, those hoarder type programs do show, you know, in 90 days what happened or she did get help or whatever. But my emphasis is that do we have resources? We should probably put it out there on some sort of website so that way their health doesn't diminish, their safety doesn't diminish. It's maybe like just an under the radar bad habit. Even the manager treated her with such disrespect. And I'm trying to explain to the manager, ma'am, this is a disease. Many people suffer from this. You cannot treat her in a way. And please, I said, this is not a blabbing, you know, opportunity for you, which she just was so mean-spirited. It really made me mad because I know even with our homeless, everybody has a story. Everybody has a situation. And without people really caring for their neighbor or their relatives, this is what happens. But I think there should be something to do in a housing situation that we are still about safety. We're still about more housing, but even classes, maybe seminars for landlords, seminars for caregivers. I really think it should be addressed at some level. It should not go unattended as far as us addressing or getting our heads together about it.
Those are good points, Denise. Let's think about that further.
Okay.
And see where we could, I don't know, apply it or place it or whatever the right term is, but I agree with you. It is a huge problem.
Yeah.
Don't understand it at all.
Yeah.
I would definitely like to add, I know you guys brought up Office on Aging as a resource. And I think that was a great call on your part on starting with our information and assistance call center, because our staff there is constantly mm-hmm. working on updating their resources, and they do have direct lines to a lot of our internal county departments. So they are able to work with other staff within the county or even outside of the county with our local providers to get that kind of help out there. Office on Aging is working, we're still in the early stages, but we're still working to update our website. But our website is also a good resource to go check to see what is provided. But besides the resources that are listed on there, we do work with other partners that are not necessarily our contractors connecting you with the appropriate resources. So I think that would definitely still remain a good resource for things of this nature.
Yeah, I'd like to see a flyer that would go out to the community centers and start there. Do you have clutter? Do you have or know of people that would like to be informed of the, like, you know, just like AARP, they put out the 10 best steps to not even engage in that kind of clutter. You have to start somewhere. And I don't see that except when it happens. I know my mother was a hoarder, and, you know, you just have to address it with compassion, but safety too is an issue.
Yeah, so I understand your concern about like having flyers. Unfortunately, that's not a direct resource that the Office on Aging provides, so we can't just come out with, you know, a flyer, because that would kind of misinform public that we're like the, you know, frontline providers of this type of service. But I mm-hmm. do understand, like, there's a, you know, myriad of issues that are, you know, that we're faced with, but it's just unfortunate that we're unable to kind of advertise everything, but we're able to kind of like 211 are able to sort of help provide those resources.
Yeah, I remember a girlfriend of mine had actually been on like NBC as a guest addressing hoarding and all, and she's here in Orange County. I think I might even ask her to do some seminars or so, or bring her to one of these meetings and help us to understand the problem first. And then, like you're saying, then we can orchestrate something more effective. Thank you.
Helen has her hand up. Helen?
Yeah, I just wanted to comment that at the Meeting of the Minds, the annual mental health conference, we've had people presenting on hoarding, and there's quite a network of organizations. And I'm hearing Farah say, because the Office on Aging can't be the conduit for that, but those resources do exist. There are flyers on this topic. So Denise, maybe you could reach out, and I would reach out through 211 and find out what their resources are on this, because there are many organizations. In fact, Margaret Riley, who used to be with the City of Buena Park, headed up the hoarding task force. There are a lot of people who have expertise in this issue, and unfortunately I can't remember the direct contact for it now, but if Denise has time, that would be a good resource, because we don't need to reinvent the wheel. I think this exists.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking the same thing about checking with 211, but good points, Helen.
Thank you, Helen.
Did I get everybody? Did I miss anybody? I think everyone else is absent. Okay. Do we have any public comments, Desiree?
We did not receive any requests in advance, and there aren't any members of the public present this morning.
Okay, thank you. And thank you for all your help and assistance. Sometimes I forget to thank you.
No problem, thank you.
Excellent meeting. I thought the presentation on 211 was really good, and also the comments. Keep your hats on thinking about our presentation for November. Our next meeting will be October 13th at 9:30 a.m. And I want to thank everyone for attending and your participation in all you do for seniors. It doesn't go unnoticed. It's wonderful what everyone does and all the resources we bring and the opportunities for all of our seniors. So unless there are any other comments or questions, we will adjourn. Anything else from anybody? Oh, Linda, do you have something? No, you're just saying goodbye.
Thank you.
I saw you.
Bye. All right. Thank you, Sandy.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sandy.
Thank you.
Stay cool.